Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time for Creation Club this Friday morning. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, Andy.
A blessed Friday morning to you this morning. How are you today?
I'm well, and you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, sir. Thank you. What do you have for us this week in Creation Club?
Well, there's an article that I found at answersingenesis.org called What Motivates Christians Like N.T. Wright to Accept Evolution? And I thought I'd kind of read through some of that with you today. First of all, the article is written by Simon Turpin. Simon Turpin works for Answers in Genesis in the U.K. He's a manager and a speaker over there. And maybe a quick word for people who aren't familiar with N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright is a highly respected leading New Testament scholar in the U.K., but he's respected around the world in many circles. And he was even a bishop in the Anglican Church. And so he's somebody that a lot of people would look up to. I know even at our seminaries, a lot of times his books are required reading, and so a lot of people look up to this man. But where there are some things where you could really respect what he says and learn from him, there are challenges here, too, because in this area of creation and the correct interpretation of Genesis, it appears that N.T. Wright, like so many, has gone the way of wanting to be respected by the academic world and so having to reinterpret Genesis to fit in with modern thinking rather than being faithful to what the scriptures actually say, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So the article by Simon Turpin that you can find at answersingenesis.org says, many examples could come to mind when considering false teaching in the church today, but would belief in a young earth? Well, according to New Testament scholar and former Bishop of Durham, N.T. Wright, this is what young earth creationism is. In his book, Surprised by Scripture, Wright comments, I wonder whether we are right even to treat the young earth position as a kind of allowable, if regrettable, alternative, something we know our cousins down the road get up to, but which shouldn't stop us getting together at Christmas. And if, as I suspect, many of us don't think of young earthism as an allowable alternative, is this simply for the pragmatic reason that it makes it hard for us to be Christians because the wider world looks at those folks and thinks that we must be like that too? Or is it, as I suggest it ought to be, because we have glimpsed a positive point that urgently needs to be made and that the young earth literalism is simply screening out? That's the danger of false teaching. It isn't just that you are making a mess. You are using that mess to cover up something that ought to be brought urgently to light. Wright does not stop there in his criticism of those who hold to young earth creationism. He goes on to state, if we can study Genesis and human origins without hearing the call to be an image-bearing human being renewed in Jesus, we are massively missing the point. Perhaps pursuing our own dream of otherworldly salvation that merely colludes with the forces of evil. That's what Gnosticism always does. There we have it. Not only is young earth creationism a false teaching, the kind of teaching that should not even be allowed amongst Christians, but those who believe it are apparently Gnostics. It is important to note, however, that Wright has his motivations for labeling young earth creationism as false teaching. And here again, quoting from Dr. Wright, the root problem we face as Christians is that in articulating a Christian vision of the cosmos the way we want to do, we find ourselves hamstrung because it is assumed that to be Christian is to be anti-intellectual, anti-science, obscurantist, and so forth. For Wright, the reason we should abandon young earth creationism, or biblical creation, is that as Christians, we do not want to be seen as anti-intellectual. Yet who is it that assumes Christianity is anti-intellectual? The answer, the secular academy. What Christians face today is a choice between earning the respect of the secular, unbelieving world by accepting evolution or being faithful to Scripture. What Christians like Wright, who accept evolution, need to realize is that theistic evolution is neither biblical orthodoxy, nor does it win the respect of the world, not that the Christian should be looking for the respect of the world, nor is it good science, for it is just as scientifically flawed as is its atheistic evolution. Theistic evolutionists, like those Christians who reject biological evolution but accept millions of years, seem to be trying to save Christianity from embarrassment in order for the Bible to make sense to those who do not believe. However, the secular academy is hostile to Christianity precisely because it is controlled by evolutionary millions of years thinking. Belief in supernatural creation stands against a dominant intellectual system that establishes what is called credibility in the secular academy. Evangelicals who feel intellectually accountable to the academy then have to come up with another way to understand Genesis, which is what Wright is trying to do. Ultimately, Wright's view of Genesis is not based upon credible exegetical conclusions, but is the result of abandoning the authority of Scripture for the praise of the academy. Moreover, Christians who accept evolution are not only helping to erode belief in supernatural creation, but other vital doctrines of the Christian faith, and more importantly, the logical implications of their conclusions seem to be a doorway to atheism. William Provine, the late professor of biological sciences at Cornell University, said, "Belief in modern evolution makes atheists of people. One can have a religious view that is compatible with evolution only if the religious view is indistinguishable from atheism." Christians should listen to what Dr. Provine is saying. The only religion that is compatible with evolution is atheism. While many may see this as an exaggerated statement, there is truth in the fact that synthesizing evolution with the Bible often leads to unbelief. The irony of the theistic evolutionary position is that the first person to differ with it would have been Charles Darwin. In Darwin's understanding of the world, there never was a time that it was very good. Darwin's great-great-grandson wrote in a book called Annie's Box, Charles Darwin, His Daughter and Human Evolution, that, quote, "After Annie's death, Charles set the Christian faith firmly behind him." The author goes on to note the death of Darwin's 11-year-old daughter in 1851 marked a great turning point in Darwin's life because Darwin realized that somewhere along the line, you have to ask the question, what kind of God would deliberately use a process of death, disease, famine, and struggle to make the world and then declare it to be very good? Toward the end of his life, Darwin described himself as an agnostic who had long before rejected the Old Testament as revelation from God and Jesus as the Son of God. Being faithful to Scripture, which is the alternative to accepting the respect of the world, is by no means anti-intellectual, since many academics throughout church history, as well as in the present day, have accepted the biblical account of creation as literal history. And here we can cite examples from the church fathers, reformers like Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Wesley, and more recent men such as Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, Dr. Andy McIntosh, and Dr. Stuart Burgess, and so on. Unfortunately, today the church is facing a crisis because too few of her people and leaders understand the devastating consequences of combining the Bible and evolution. Too many, like Wright, want to go with a cultural flow and be thought of by the secular majority as an enlightened and intelligent person rather than anti-intellectual. In his ministry, however, the Apostle Paul never tried to please people, as evidenced by the mocking he received from the academy of his day, the Greek philosophers in Athens, when he proclaimed the truth of the gospel, which is rooted in biblical creation. This is because Paul understood that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Paul issued a warning to the Corinthian church. He said, "But I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted by the simplicity that is in Christ." Satan's method of deception with Eve was to get her to question God's word. Unfortunately, many scholars and Christian lay people today have had their minds corrupted by evolutionary teaching and are falling for this deception and are questioning the authority of God's word when it comes to Genesis chapters 1 to 11. Paul, however, exhorts us to have the mind and attitude of Christ. Therefore, as Christians, whatever Jesus' belief was concerning creation should be what we believe, and he clearly believed that the early chapters of Genesis were historically accurate and reliable. Moreover, he believed that Adam and Eve were historical people who were created at the beginning of creation on day six. When it comes to the reliability and truthfulness of the creation account in Genesis, the church today needs to follow the Apostle Paul's example and bow the knee to the lordship of Christ rather than to that of the secular academy. So that's the article that you can find at answersingenesis.org. It's written by Simon Turpin, manager and speaker for Answers in Genesis in the UK. And the title of the article is What Motivates Christians Like N.T. Wright to Accept Evolution?
We have just about a minute left, but I think that's the first time I've ever been called an obscurantist. That's all.
Indeed. And I think, again, for those who respect Dr. Wright for many other things that he has written, I think we always need to you know, keep our filters up and realize you need to analyze everything anybody says. You know, check it out on the basis of God's Word. You may agree with a teacher on one point, I disagree with him on another, and particularly if he upholds Scripture in one place, but then in another place denies the truthfulness of Scripture and tries to explain it away for less than biblical reasons, then you have to say, let's stick with God's Word. Because, you know, just as if you would say, I don't believe the story of creation because scientists don't believe it, ultimately you would reject all of Christianity, the virgin birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, his death as the atonement for the sins of the world, his bodily resurrection from the dead. Science will not agree with any of that. And so why should we bow the knee to science instead of to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our creator and our redeemer? He is the way, the truth, and the life.
We're not anti-science, but we know what is true, and we know where truth is found.
And evolution isn't true science. It is a false religion. It is neither biblical nor scientific.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Pastor Wirth. Always great to have this Creation Club time with you. Talk to you next week.
Very good. God bless.
Thank you. Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO.